Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buddy, welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. I don't know who's ready for college basketball. I ain't ready for college basketball. There's a lot going on. Right, NBA just started. We got college basketball right now, but I guess I can't complain because really anything to distract us from our winter situation here in the D.C. area is fine. So go Hoyas, definitely go Terps. I can't quite go. Go Cavaliers, not until they get back last year's championship. They saw what happened. They know they didn't deserve that. Speaking of which, it looks like the NFL refereeing situation has gotten to a point where it's ruining games for a lot of people. I'm going to get to that story in a second. First of all, I'm going to go to my man Browning in Fredericksburg, who says Nats caps over skin. So you would not give back either of those championships for Dan Snyder selling the team. Is that what I'm hearing? Browning, you there?
Yeah, no, I'm here. No, okay. I wouldn't give up either championship.
Neither one.
And this is why. D.C. championships are few and far between, as we all know this. You know, the Nats winning this year was unbelievable. You know, the guys are an amazing team. I got to go to a few games this year. I got to go to the Game 7 watch party in D.C. It was a crazy party. But, yeah, anyways, I wouldn't give that up for anything, and I am a longtime Skins fan. But so as regards to which championship do you think is bigger, it's such a toss-up because baseball is a bigger sport, bigger fan base. But at the same time, like, you know, here we are, we get to win a championship, and it was just that exciting that I feel like it's either as big or maybe even bigger just because the first one we've seen in so long.
That's a fair point. My thought was that the Capitals championship activated those muscles within us of receiving something good. Because, you know, sometimes when you're used to just receiving negativity, you don't even know how to receive anything good. You see it all the time in people's social situations where they used to, you know, where they get that hardened shell and all of a sudden they can't even take a good person into their life. We were like that as D.C. sports fans where we didn't even know how to receive something good. The Capitals actually taught us. It was a beautiful gift. Like, yes, this is for you. Like, you are champions. You won. And we got to celebrate that. But I feel like all of those muscles were activated by the time the Nats came around so we could actually fully enjoy the Nats and not feel like the next shoe was about to drop. Because we definitely felt like the next shoe was about to drop until the final horn in that Capitals title. So, you know, you could go either way. And a lot of people, like my colleague was saying, about the Capitals' history in this area, and I can speak to that. I'm from Prince George's County, so I remember, you know, driving past the Cap Center where the Caps would play and where the Bullets at the time would play. And you know, my mother used to work at the Cap Center, so she's a huge Caps fan. And I know it's not a lot of middle-aged black Capitals fans or hockey fans in general, but she loves them because they were so big for that community in that area. So she's a colossal Caps fan, and so there is an argument to be made for the Caps, and I hear what you're saying about all of a sudden being that team that breaks the drought. But we were ready to celebrate. Like we all of a sudden knew where to have a parade, and all of that. We all of a sudden knew where to get gear. All the things that we had to figure out for the Caps because it had been so long. We had actually figured that out for the Washington Nationals.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And the two teams. And because they're so tight, like they're boys and stuff or whatever, it kind of collates with the fact that their runs were so similar, like on the road, and you know they had to get over humps that they'd never been able to get over before, and that's what made us put up those shells. Is because we'd always got to that point, and it's like, hey, here we are, but we're going to get let down because it's always happened. And it was the same way with the Nats and with the Caps. And it's just amazing that we got them both to, like, back-to-back years. We got championships. And I'm looking forward to the future. I really am. Hey, I appreciate you taking my call, man. You have a good night, and I'm going to sit back and listen. Appreciate it, man.
All right, I appreciate you, Brownie. It is an interesting debate back and forth between the Capitals and the Nationals. I will say this, man. We got a whole new generation of sports fans now all of a sudden that know that we could win. Because I blame the Redskins and the Wizards for all my failure in life. Because I didn't know you could win. Just as a kid, I didn't know you could win. Like, the kids are asking me, what do you want to be when you grow? I said, I just want to get to 500 and raise ticket prices. That's all I'm trying to do. Take care of that overhead. I didn't realize a championship was even a possibility. And it's a beautiful thing to see all these DC, you know, little boys and girls feeling like they could actually be successful. It is really quite amazing. Nats versus Caps. Would you trade it for Dan Snyder selling the team? Either one of them. I meant to ask him the Mystics. I should include them. That's the okie doke. That's the okie doke. Steve in Arlington, I have a question for you. Would you trade the Mystics championship for Dan Snyder selling the team? He's like, I want to get in trouble. All right, Steve, would you trade the Nats World Series victory for Dan Snyder selling the Redskins?
I would trade it. Yes, I would.
You would trade. Okay. Okay. Now, would you trade both? Would you give that and the Capitals championship back for Dan Snyder selling the team?
Yes, only because as you are, I'm a long Washingtonian, and I've been rooting for the team forever. And the Wizards are never going to win. We know that they're never going to win a championship. So our only hope for the next big franchise is the Redskins, and it's not going to happen. We have to give – I would give up everything. DC United, they can have it all.
Wow, you sound like you're ready to give up family members and
– Man, they can have it all. They can have it all.
Steve, are you still watching the games?
I watch the games until halftime. It's no good up until halftime. They're blown out by then. So, I mean, I watch it until halftime, give them a chance. You know, first quarter they, you know, are formidable in the first quarter, show a little hope. But then it's over. The teams put their foot in their neck and end it and go ahead and real team.
So you watch until halftime knowing that you won't have to watch anymore.
Knowing that it's over by halftime. And you just go to the next game after that. You know, usually the other games are, you know, kind of exciting by then and, you know, other teams are playing competitive, but we're not even competitive by halftime. It's over by halftime.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of people in that boat. I'll be honest. It's a lot of people in that boat. That was one of the things that frustrated me in the first couple of weeks was that they would stay competitive throughout most of the game, therefore making sure that I waste the maximum amount of time. Fortunately, I can't credit the Redskins for a lot of things. I credit them this. At least they've gotten blown out early. I appreciate them for that. At least give us the second half to be productive.
Exactly.
I feel you, Steve.
Hey, great show, buddy. Great
Thank
show,
you, man.
Buddy.
Steve. Show. Steve's willing to trade it all. Now, that's going to be my opener moving forward, just if you call it. I'm going to ask you that Mystics question until I get a good response. I appreciate he took the time to think about it. He thought about some of the people in his life and whether or not he was willing to say goodbye to them based on what he had to say. But they should be included in all these conversations. Now, I'm going to go to a very special VIP we have. Man, you calling in all at the end of the segment. This is WSA 9 Sports Director Darren Haynes, who, by the way, if you haven't checked out his stuff on WSA 9 and on social media, has done an incredible job covering not only the Nationals but the Capitals and everything in between. What's going on, player?
What's up, man? I like the way you hype me up, man. Hype me up.
Hey, man.
I'll get that check to you, though.
Real recognized real, man. It was cool to see you out in Houston. I was telling about my experiences being out there. The Houston fans were pretty cool out there celebrating the Nationals and whatnot. What was the experience like for you?
It was great, man. You know who I'm married to? My wife's from Houston.
Oh, that's right.
So, shoot, I got bragging rights. Shoot, my Christmas is going to be great.
So you were like a house divided out. Now, how did she take the loss? Did she take it well?
Well, you know, I forced her to put on Washington Nationals gear, and she was at the parade saying "Go Nats."
Mm-hmm.
Took videos and pictures, put it all on social media. So we're good now. We're good. But nah, that experience, man, in Houston was amazing because I covered this team straight from West Palm Beach spring training and going through all the ups and downs and stuff like that. And when you get invested in a team like that, you feel like you're a part of them, and to see them do that in the situation that they're in on the road in Houston against this Astros team that was like 107 wins, which I think was a franchise record for them, mm-hmm. was just unreal, straight David and Goliath type. It was I love how quiet, and you were there, how mm-hmm. quiet those Astros fans were when they won that game.
Wasn't it like surreal? Because I was just saying, like, you can't cheer in the press box. So I'm just sitting there like fist pumping underneath the table, and we making eye contact and like head nodding like black people do on airplanes and airports when we see each other. That's how we did as uh-huh. Nats fans, because we couldn't actually like show our emotion.
Nah, not at all. But like it, and then the thing about it was almost like it was the umpires are trying to ruin it for us.
Oh, bruh.
Oh, they were trying to. I'm like, I couldn't figure out what a strike or a ball was anymore.
It was crazy. And then, I had felt that way throughout most of the series. And then, obviously, with the Trey Turner play at first base, it truly came to a head. But the thing is, I actually told you this. I remember walking up and telling you, I said, I feel like the Astros are getting the benefit of every call, and I can't conceivably understand why Major League Baseball would want to do that, because we are by far the better story. The Astros just won. We haven't won in 80-some-odd years. And this is Washington, D.C. Like, how would we not get all of the questionable calls?
Shoot, maybe part of the plan was to make sure they didn't get the calls to make it an even better story. Yeah. Who knows what goes on behind closed doors? But like I said, what the Nationals did was unbelievable, man. I've been in this business over 15 years. I've covered a lot of championship teams. And for some particular reason, I feel so much more connected to the way this Nationals team won their championship than any time I covered the Spurs winning, the Patriots, the Boston Bruins, the Celtics. What other teams I've covered? I've covered a lot. Just felt so much more connected to this team by the way that they won.
Now, I did want to ask you, we've been having this debate on which championship was bigger, which celebration was bigger, which one meant more between the Nationals and the Capitals and the back and forth. Obviously, the Capitals have been entrenched much longer. Their history goes much deeper. They used to play in Prince George's County, as I said, so they have a ton of middle-aged black fans, which I don't think any other hockey team can claim. And you mm-hmm. saw them out there for the celebration. But then you have the Nationals. Baseball is just a more popular sport than hockey. There's no other two ways about that. And also, we were kind of like motivated and activated after the Caps won. We kind of knew what to do, and we could kind of do the celebration right. Which one in your mind was bigger?
Oh, and while you were explaining, I'm like, damn, that's a really tough competition there. So,
and
the
obviously the Capitals broke the streak too. So I will say
that. That's why I was going to lean towards the Capitals, but like the Nationals, baseball is America's sport, so that's why it's big for the, you know, countrywide, because that's America's sport. But yes, the Capitals ended that long drought of never having a championship, and it the way they even celebrated after. I mean, the parade started right after they won. Like, they weren't even tired. It was like, let's go straight run through the casino and the clubs in Vegas, and then next thing you know, it's two or three days where they're going around the city from where the Stanley Cup is, going through Georgetown, going in taxi cabs, and next thing you know, it's in a fountain. Like, that whole situation, that whole way they won and how big it was and how the parade was and the fan interaction with the parade was definitely bigger than the Nationals.
I forgot that the Capitals won in Vegas. they should feel lucky they even got the Stanley Cup back. The Capitals won in Vegas. All ties probably go to Vegas, man. You are like the championship whisperer. You know how jealous I am that I sat here as a DC sports fan and got mocked every NBA season, every hockey season, every baseball season, and damn sure every football season. And all of a sudden you stroll into town, get to celebrate with the Caps immediately, then get the Mystics, and then get the Nats, man. It's crazy.
Hey, Reese, don't shortchange. Don't shortchange the good luck here, man, because I'm going to throw in the arena team. We got the Valor that won, even though they won with only like two or three wins.
Yes.
University of Virginia basketball, they won. Maryland women's lacrosse, Maryland men's soccer. I mean, listen.
Wow.
Washington, D.C. stands for Washington Darren Championships.
Look,
claiming it. Copywritten. Don't copy me.
Hey, man, get that on a shirt. Get that on a shirt. I like that.
You pay for all the production stuff. I'll just take in the dividends.
I appreciate that, man. Hey, Darren Haynes, where can people find you on social media? You at Darren Haynes?
Yeah, Darren M. Haynes. M is Matthew. Darren M. Haynes, you can find me.
At Darren M. Haynes, and make sure you check him out every evening on WSA9. With the Queen, Leslie Foster, man. I appreciate you calling in, man.
All right, my boy. Thanks, Reese.
All right, that was Darren Haynes, and I am Reese Waters. This has been Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. We'll be back after this. Fox may put former umpires in the broadcast booth next year. That is my problem. Because anytime they put former umpires or, you know, former executives, I know Dean Blandino does some of the football stuff, they never go out and step out on a limb and disagree with the people currently working the game. Look, if I just wanted people to co-sign the bad calls that the refs and the umpires are already making, you got broadcasters who do that. They're not going to disagree with the terrible call that we see in replay over and over again, which validates it was a terrible call. And they say, well, it was a bit of a hold. You can see it was a bit of a hold. He nowhere near him. Oh, well, yeah, he held him before this replay. There was a hold. Come on. Or the thing I hate the most, when there's a big play, be a big play downfield, they call a hold, and then you don't even show me the replay. So I have no idea what just happened. I can't even dispute it one way or the other. And what makes matters so, what takes it over the top is the fact that they give us the animated box with the balls and the strikes, which allows us to see just how bad the calls are on a regular basis. Now, I do give them credit for doing that because they could take that away. And believe me, if I was an ump, I would want them to take that away. But I said, is there a job with less accountability than Major League Baseball umpire? You get to be wrong every 2 to 3 minutes, and we just keep it moving. Name another job where you can be 100% wrong every 2 to 3 minutes, and we just keep it moving. Hey, they used to say, teach your sons to be pitchers, left-handed pitchers, they can work forever. Umpire, you don't even have to know the strike zone. Umpire, you can work forever. Let your voice be heard. We'll be back after this. 106.7 The Fan, I'm Reese Waters. Yeah, I can actually interact with the music this time. I apologize if I was a little extra loud and unhinged in that last segment. I'm going to take you behind the curtain for a second. So my headphones malfunctioned, so I did not have the ability to hear anything that was going on around me. I couldn't hear any of the music. I couldn't hear any of the callers. So if I just sound like God loud in the middle of the bus or the diner or the curry out, just complaining, that's exactly who I was. It was headphones out. I'm just going to tell you how I feel. And really, umpires and referees was like the perfect topic because that's the one thing that you can just, you know what, forget all this. I don't need this laptop. I don't need these headphones. Let's talk about these refs. Can we talk about these refs? Because you can always get off talking about these refs, especially when they tried to do our Washington Nationals the way they tried to do them which was crazy. And so I was very, very, very extra overjoyed. As Darren Haynes just articulately put, it made the story all that much sweeter that they tried to take it away from us. But I'll be honest, I didn't really – it looked grim at times. So I can't say that I appreciated the extra elevated degree of difficulty. Fortunately, one thing we have not had to concern ourselves with as a fan base is NFL referees. That has not been an issue. It looks like people are going absolutely crazy to the point where Google searches have been affected by just how bad the refereeing has been. Unbelievable. Lions have gotten robbed, I think, multiple times this season. And the most frustrating thing of all is, of course, you will not get people, analysts, even former referees, that whose job is to evaluate the referees. They won't go against the zebras on the field or the umpire or blue on the field. They won't go. So really, what are they paying you to do? What are they paying you to do? It'd be like if I got up here and was like, yeah, man, the Wizards look great. Matter of fact, speaking of why we're on, I'm going to do it aside now. I just sent a tweet out because we have not talked much Wizards today. I just sent a tweet out with a video I got from Shaq and the Fool. So Wizards feeling like they weren't getting enough attention. They did reach the desk of Shaq and the Fool. So they are getting some national exposure. I appreciate the Wizards for that. It just looks like a simple pick and roll that ended up in what looks like some sort of bar scrum. And why wouldn't it? But that's pretty much what they have to do for us to talk about them. So one thing, I am appreciative of being able to take this season off of complaining about the refs, but that is something that needs to be addressed. And what's crazy to me is how sports is such a, you know, you're talking about a multi-billion dollar business, you know? The business of sports is colossally big. That's the reason why I am here right now and all these lights are on in this big building that I'm currently occupying right now. That is the business of sports. But, yeah, when it comes to the calls, you know your Uncle Charlie? You know he got a bad leg. He wears boffles. Let's put him in charge. Everybody's Uncle Charlie is a bunch of middle-aged dudes on the sidelines who we put in charge of this multi-billion dollar business. They're the ones making the calls. Everybody Uncle Charlie. Does that sound to you? I mean, you have the capabilities of using technology to make sure you get the call right. Nah, but, you know, Uncle Charlie been doing it for a long time. Just let him. I know he makes a wrong call. You know, he not right all the time, but that's part of the game. You know, part of the game is Uncle Charlie going to get it wrong sometimes. That's a human error. You know, that's just part of the fun of the game. Uncle Charlie sometimes not gonna see everything. Oh, okay, so we just gonna ride. We just gonna let all this money ride on Uncle Charlie, huh? All this money. I mean, you look at Vegas, for instance, and the sports books and how massive that has been for their economy to the point where we've legalized it because we want to bring the money here. We want to bring the money to New Jersey. We want to bring the money to, you know, California. You know, everybody wants to legalize sports gambling because they realize how big that is. Look at how quickly daily fantasy exploded. Look how quickly fantasy exploded. These things are big business. But when it comes down to it, we're just gonna leave Uncle Charlie in charge. I know that's your mortgage payment that you put on the Lions, but Uncle Charlie ain't see it. So I'm sorry. Yes, we have the technology to get it right, but right now it's Uncle Charlie. It's Uncle Charlie's deal. So it just baffles me. Like, I'm watching the World Series. I'm seeing them get the calls wrong, but we just gotta let Uncle Charlie, like, ride. We just got to let Uncle Charlie make his calls. Why? Because that's the way it's always been, you know. Uncle Charlie's used to it. You know, he needs something to do. You know, he needs something constructive to do with his time. And so we just let him umpire. Oh, okay, all right, fair enough. You know, I got this machine right here that will tell you exactly whether it's a ball or a strike. Like, and it does it instantaneously. Like, it will instantaneously tell you whether it's a ball or a strike. We have technology we can put in the base and tell you whether somebody was safe or out. We have goal line technology in soccer. That's cool. But if we go to the technology and we get all the calls right, then, what's Uncle Charlie going to do with his Sunday afternoons, though? He needs somewhere to go. He needs somewhere to be. I mean, I can't imagine any other reason or excuse not to do that when we can get everything right. And it matters. There's a lot of money on the line. It does matter. Fortunately, it did not cost us a World Series title. It won't cost us a Super Bowl title because we are many bad calls. I don't think you could rig the Redskins to the playoffs. I don't even think it's possible. If Roger Goodell said, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure the Redskins get to the playoffs, they will win 4 games. So at least we don't have to worry about that. Have you ever heard that conspiracy where people said that the Redskins get the short end of the stick because the league is mad at them about the name? Have you heard that conspiracy? I've heard that before. We ain't got to worry about that this year. That's good. I appreciate them for setting my mind at ease when it comes to conspiracy theories in the Washington Redskins. All right, give me a call. Let your voice be heard. 1-800-636-1067. Reese Waters on 106.7 The Fan. All right, I love it. By the way, just a word to the wise ladies out there. Don't roll with nobody who says they won't do you no harm. That's not really something that you want to bring up, like, in an initial holler type situation. If you just meet somebody and he's like, I won't do you no harm, it's like, why are you even talking like that? That's creepy than the mug. That is Jimi Hendrix. I don't know about you. I had a Jimi Hendrix phase in college. You know, a lot of late nights, a lot of not showering, wearing outdated clothing, and being surrounded with a motley crew of males and females. That was my time at Columbia University. I apologize if I saw you during that phase of my life, because I'm pretty sure I did something I should apologize for. Speaking of which, Popeyes is back. Now, have you had the Popeyes chicken sandwich? When we called, when we were on midnight, nobody had it. It was a bunch of people out here talking about, I don't know why all these people acting crazy. Have you had it?
Yes, yeah, I've had the sandwich.
Now, is it actually worth everything that
it's definitely, I don't, it's a loaded question because it's good. There's, you know, I could get all food critique-y on you and break down what makes it great and what makes it good, what makes it whatever, but is it worth all the craziness around it? I absolutely is not, no.
I can't remember the last time a fast food item went this viral. Was it the McRib?
The McRib first came out? The McRib was pretty big in terms of just having that kind of viral hype around it. Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
I'm trying to think of anything that was like this big and then it goes away. I mean, when they tell you that you could bring your own bread, come on, man. Come on. First of all, if you brought your own bread into a Popeyes to make a Popeyes sandwich, you should be banned from any other fast food establishment. Like, we don't want your business that you were willing to do that. I would want to know if I was an employer, if I was a supervisor, I would want to know if any of my employees did that. If I see you with a Popeye's filet and two pieces of Wonder Bread. You know what, man? Soon as you finish your sandwich, man, you got 30 minutes to collect your things. We don't want your con around here that you were willing to do that. It was that deep? Really? It was that deep?
Did you see the video of the – now, this was in the first phase of the chicken sandwich because now we're in phase two.
Right.
Did you see the video where the guy brought his own chicken?
No.
Yeah. He brought a whole chicken and was like, y'all need to make chicken sandwiches with this.
That's hilarious. That is hilarious. I did see a number of videos where people were teaching you how to make the Popeye's chicken sandwich. Have you seen? There's a bunch of like tutorials on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. There are a couple of like TikTok videos.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I can't even make like basic stuff. You think I'm going to attempt a Popeye's chicken sandwich in my home, make a mess? All the ingredients would still be there today. Oh, man. Unbelievable, the videos that have come out. Did you see the video where the guy took I don't want to be a player, and he doubled over? He
no.
was like one of the Popeye's employees. He's like, I don't even want to work in no more.
I did not see that.
Something
no.
about chicken on the floor. Yeah, it was all right. I'll put that out on Twitter. If you haven't seen that, catch me at Reese Waters. And catch me in the morning. I'll be on Get Up DC. I don't know how many of you guys awake at this time. I imagine people awake at this time could actually be awake for Get Up DC. Normally when they have me on like the 10 to 1, these are people that literally haven't been awake at 6 a.m. in years. They were absolutely meeting me for the first time. Like I didn't even know 6 a.m. was a thing. I thought 6 a.m. was still paid programming. That's what I thought. Before they hired, I was like, yo, y'all put on shows at 6 a.m.? Like normally when I turn in 6 a.m., it's like an infomercial about the visor that takes the lights away when you're driving. You know the visor that takes the lights away? They got some deep pockets, man, because they stay on.
The tack visor.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. I've seen that commercial many a times.
Yo, they got money. They got money. My old one was the flat hose. When I was a kid, the flat hose feel like it was always on. I was so mad at the flat hose. I was like, I could have been a billionaire. You know how many times I've looked at a hose and at no point was I like, hey, I wonder if you could just flatten that hose. Like, that was it. That was it. We were all that close. And then if you've ever run over a hose, which you've probably done, you've run over a hose, you literally saw a flat hose. It was right there. It was right there for all of us. The flat hose, to this day, is one of the most frustrating misses. Everybody has misses, you know. Here as Redskins fans, we have Kyle Shanahan right now with the 49ers and what he's doing, incredible things. Watch the Rams. It's crazy what they're doing. For me, it's a flat hose. That is my Dan Snyder miss. All right, we got another hour. I'm looking forward to it because this is like the time now where people have been home. By the way, if anybody's listening and you have a significant other that's watching The Masked Singer, it looks like everybody thinks it's Kelly Osbourne. Just go ahead and ruin it for her because she should be making better programming choices. She or he. Just go ahead and ruin it. It's Kelly Osbourne is the ladybug. And it looks like the Rottweiler is Chris Daughtry. The Fox is Wayne Brady. Just ruin her show. And tell her that it's his or her show, and tell her that they should be listening to 106.7 The Fan. Reese Waters is on The Fan. What you doing watching The Masked Singer? Ha ha! It's Chris Daughtry.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.